Here's
well, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon for some of you folks.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I've got some squirrely characters there in South Carolina.
Way squirrely.
Way squirrely. You guys need to get up on the mic now.
Okay.
There you go. I know my mic's a little bit low. Well, good morning, good afternoon. Paul, why don't you do our introductions today?
Good afternoon. This is Paul Muller and Phil Walthall and Rick Usler, and this is the Hour of Truth. Welcome.
I like how you're pointing there, because nobody can see you.
Hand gestures on radio, Paul, just
really,
kind of
you're
a lost.
Go there.
It's kind of lost on the whole audience there, buddy.
I'm sorry. I'm in a weird, funny mood.
I heard you were in a weird, funny mood. I caught your service today, Phil.
Wow.
You went quiet. Where'd you go?
I'm right here.
It's waiting for the other shoe to drop.
You know, I'm really... All right, you know, I like to go on a different subject.
Any other subject.
I thought it was a great subject.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was a great subject. I think that was a great subject. I think Paul tied into it really well. You know, that was a great subject. I think we should talk about that today, Phil.
Okay.
You know, we go through stuff, right?
Yes.
Are you the only person that goes through it?
No, I'm not.
Sometimes you think you do.
Yeah, sometimes I think I am.
You think you're special and unique, and you're the only one in all of history that is going through
that. That has these issues, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the truth.
No.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody earlier. It wasn't you or Paul, it was somebody else. You know, Jesus came and died for us and redeemed us because we needed redemption. Not because we're perfect, else he would not have had to die.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just think of that for a moment. You know, when you transition out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, it's because you have realized that truth and that fact and can rest in the sufficiency of God's grace for you. See, living in Romans 7, you trying to fix you and be perfect and, you know, satisfy God in your flesh, it's an impossibility. Your flesh is never, ever, 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 ever going to feel like serving God. Ever.
You're absolutely right.
It is wicked. It is depraved. It is not what Christ came to save. He came to save your soul, the seat of your will. The real you, this other thing, is a cursed thing. You know, the beauty of 7, when you read it, you can see Paul's desperation to be rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this before, you know, whether or not maybe not on this show, but certainly ministerially, we've talked about it before, about our various attitudes about our carnal man. You know, Paul was just literally beside himself, distraught to be free of it. And I question my own desire. You know, I look at myself, do I say, hey, I'm not that bad? I mean, is that where my head's at half the time?
Well, one of the things that strikes me as you're saying that is, you know, where he's talking about, and I sought the Lord three times, and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, and I don't know if that attains to that.
Well, Paul had a sin. Paul had a sin, and if people will want to argue with it, that's fine. They can argue all you want. And I was one of those guys who used to argue, and my dad, you know, pointed out that grace is for sin. And I said, geez, I can't argue with that. I guess he's right. You know, how many times have I wanted to argue with my dad about him being wrong and only to find out he was right? You know, one of these days I'm going to learn, hopefully. Don't argue with dad because you're always going to lose that. But when Paul says, you know, he sought the Lord to have this thing removed, and God says, my grace is sufficient for thee, grace is to cover sin.
Right.
And you go and read in Galatians about he's referring to an infirmity in the flesh. That's a weakness in the flesh. He's talking about he had a problem that he could not overcome. And Paul was an amazing man of God, no doubt. And for whatever reason, the Lord loved him enough to allow something in his life to remind him every day how much he yet needed Christ.
Amen.
You know, how many times do we go through the day and we, you know, and I've used this term, and I think the Lord has shown me and continues to show me that I'm no different. And that is, you know, keeping Jesus in the brake only in case of emergency box. When is it that we go to seek the Lord's counsel? Or when is it that we go to get help? Or when is it that we go to, is it, you know, before we start our day? Is it before, you know, is it to center ourselves in His will before we get going in this particular direction? Or is it only after everything's hit the fan that we go, oh yeah, I need to pray? Or, oh yeah, I need help? Or, oh yeah, Jesus. Or, when is it that we seek God's counsel and God's will and God's direction for us? Is it after we find ourselves, you know, falling headlong off a cliff? Or is it, you know, before we get in the car?
One of the several reminders during the course of the day of how much I really need Jesus. That, those reminders come as a grace to you. Because
go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
You walk around in the flesh. The flesh isn't wanting to seek Jesus and do His will, just like you were just saying. It's just not how it is. It's not going to work that way. Never.
Phil, I would imagine that given the things you've been going through, you kind of feel like you're being squeezed and pressed and, you know, put through a meat grinder. Does that sound about right?
Yeah. What was it? It was frustrating. I think I was frustrated one day. I was talking to you, Rick, or no, I think it was Paul. And I said, man, it's like I'm being driven. I'm this big and I'm being trying to be driven in through a funnel. I'm just not working.
that's exactly what is going on. I mean, that is, you know, nail on the head, exactly what's going on. See, Phil, God has called you to fill a role in His kingdom. And you will either learn, you will either have those areas in you that need to be broken. They will either be broken or you will be broken because of them.
Yeah.
You know, you and I have had this talk before, and you know, hey, we're all brothers here, and you know, people need to hear, people need to understand that we struggle, we rely on Christ, we're no different. I mean, we're just, you know, like Paul says, you know, we are, when he and his buddy were, they were trying to offer sacrifice to him, he said, what, we are men of like passion, just like you, we are every bit
screwed up,
messed up,
and that's, and in, I mean, that's
in
what
need
I was sharing.
Christ. Yeah,
sharing this morning.
Yeah,
and you know, Rick, one of the things that, you know, going through, you were hitting on something that came through my mind earlier. You're talking about getting into Romans 8. One of the sermons, I don't know if you remember this sermon back when you were here in South Carolina that you preached on, was one of, "You are not your flesh."
I remember that.
The real you is not your flesh. And that just came to mind when you were talking about being in Christ Jesus. Or in Romans 8, I apologize.
Yeah, well, we're probably going to go to Romans 8. We're probably going to go there, but you mentioned being put through a funnel. I looked up a scripture earlier. And you know what chapter and book it happens to be in? Just guess.
Peter?
Matthew. No.
Matthew, guess what chapter?
7.
Yeah, there we go. Matthew 7. Before you get to 21, though. If you go back up to verse 12, well, just read, because it's just a little, I mean, it's not completely related, but you don't just read one verse of 7. You got to read several, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the prophets. That's that golden rule, right?
Right.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not do unto others before they get a chance to do it to you, which is often the way of the world. Anyway, move on. Verse 14 and 13. This is what I wanted to get to, because this is you, Phil. Did, you know, I asked last week, I think it was, you ever prayed that prayer, Lord, do whatever it takes?
Yes. I've said that prayer a few times, Ricky.
More than
I've
once,
said
so.
It at sermon. And for all of us to
he's
be
a slow learner.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like I got everybody else involved too. It was
I was pretty sure this morning as I was texting back, Lord, please bless him. But man, I can't stand texting. Something gets lost in the translation. And certainly I've told Paul, if somebody's praying for me to have patience, I'm going to find that person. Anyway, beyond that, let's look at this here. You prayed the prayer, and I think we all have. I mean, at least the three of us have prayed at one time or another. Lord, do whatever it takes.
Hmm.
That's a very dangerous prayer. It's one the Lord will honor.
Yes, that's why. It's dangerous.
You know, and if there's stuff in your life that needs to get shed, you're going to get it shed. And you may think that if you change your circumstance, the problem's going to change. But let me tell you what, until it's shed out of your heart, I don't care where you are, you're going to have the problem.
Yeah.
You know, you can change jobs, you can move to another state, you can do whatever you think is going to alleviate that discomfort. But if it's something the Lord's trying to work out of you, guess what? Just let him work it out of you where you are. It'll save you a lot of time. We get here to verse 13. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You know, if you're driving in, Phil, you're driving into the ranch in Texas, you look to the right as you're coming around one of those corners, there's sort of a cattle pen area. Do you remember seeing this old rickety wooden thing? Remember seeing that?
I don't maybe, recall. Maybe I mean, if I seen it, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, but not at this
well, basically,
moment.
you got a pen, and then you've got this sort of narrowing that happens, and the cattle have to go in single file. They can't just put them in 15 wide.
Right.
Okay. Well, what's happening to you, what's happening to us, what's happening to the body of Christ that have submitted to God, and have committed to enter in at the straight gate, is we are being pressed. We are being funneled. We are being, you know, all the things you're talking about feeling like is happening to you is exactly it, because we are so willful and carnal that has to get shed. We can't be about his thing if we're constantly about our thing. I see this, oh my goodness. It's like a broken record with my daughter. And I mean, she comes by it naturally. You know, I can't half blame her. But if I say, you know, do X, Y, Z, she'll say, oh, let me do A, B, C. Because somehow, in her mind, A, B, C is what I really meant for her to do.
And that is right. The A, B, C, not the X, Y, Z.
Yeah. It's like it's like today, and I don't know what happened, but I texted the folks up in Vermont. I said, restart the router and restart the firewall. Restart the cable modem, or restart the modem and restart the router. I get a message back that they shut down the wireless. Now, maybe it got lost in the translation, and maybe they really did that, and they shut down the wireless, but nonetheless, you know, I don't know what happened, but you know, I say, you guys have a network problem. Restart, you know, reboot the modem, reboot your firewall. And I said, well, we did that. We shut down the wireless. I'm like, but that's not what I said. But that's what we do to the Lord continuously.
Yes.
I mean, that is what we do just continuously. We just interject our own understanding over top what God has given us to do. We try and flavor it, massage it, manipulate it in such a way that it is, by the time we're done, it's not at all what he asked. And so that has to get worked out of us. If we're going to be effective for him and his kingdom, that has to be worked out of us.
Well, you know, when you started coming to the show, Ricky, one of the things that you talked about was Saul. And quite frankly, I mean, that's what Saul did.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And that has, what you're saying is that has to be worked out of us.
Yep.
That has to be worked out of us. It has to go.
Going on to verse 14, it says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now let's just look at that for a minute. Narrow. Actually, let's go back and look at straight. Okay, that means straight, just a single file. But let's look at the word narrow. To press. Press hard upon. A compressed way. Narrow, straightened, contracted, to trouble, afflict, distress. We're talking about tribulation, work of patience, patience, experience. I mean, did you see the tie-in here?
Yes. Whatever it takes. Well, I didn't mean that, Lord. That's not at all what I was expecting or anything, Lord.
Do you think the phrase mortify your members in the flesh is you send them on a vacation?
No.
No, it means to kill, don't it?
Exactly. Who says mortify the deeds of the flesh? Is that, you know, you give them time out? You put them in a corner with a time out? Or is that going to be sufficient?
Yes, put them in time out until they can say the right things.
Child rearing 101, right?
Yeah. Even though they don't mean it.
Yeah. But you know, Paul, when he's struggling through 7, and you're reading that, and you can just hear his distress over his situation, over how he feels about how he is in his inner man, or well, his flesh, I should say. He says, you know, I know this, you know, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How many of us think that there's some good in our flesh?
Too many.
I mean, Phil, if there's a saving grace on you, it's that you have no aspirations, that you have anything of value to deliver. Am I accurate in that statement?
Yeah. And hence in that, Ricky, my tendency is to say, all right, this job's not for me, but it's not about me. It's about God and His ability and His grace.
Well, see, you take it a different direction. See, we're all different. I mean, it's the, you know, pride is a coin. You can have it the head side or the tail side, but it's still pride. You can have the right head side of the coin where you think you're wonderful and awesome, and therefore, of course, God would use you because, well, you're you. I fall more on that side of that coin, unfortunately, and there are those that fall on the tail side, which is you're so woefully horrible and worthless, you know, you might as well just go off yourself because obviously there's no good you could provide. Well, that's pride too, because that's saying
that's the woe is me side. Yes,
that's the woe is you side. So it's still pride, and you know what it does,
you know,
on both. Let me just finish, then jump. Please jump in. What it does on both sides of that coin, regardless of where you are, it leaves you ineffective for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I was just going to say, I fall on the other side, Ricky.
Yeah.
But both are just as what's that big word, that D word, detrimental?
Huh?
Detrimental? What is that word?
Detrimental?
Detrimental. That's it.
Yeah. I thought you were going to the dentist, the detrimental. Going up to Florence and get some new teeth or something.
Tank good for you.
Yeah, they both render. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying both are just as bad.
Yeah.
That's all I was going to say.
It's still pride.
Yeah.
It'll still drag you to hell. If you live in that, you see, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are what?
In Christ Jesus,
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what happens if you're not in Christ Jesus, and you do walk after the flesh, and not after the Spirit?
Then you have condemnation on you. You're condemned to go
there
to hell.
There you go. Then you're condemned.
Doesn't work out so well.
Right. See, Paul figured out, as he came out of 7 and into 8, he figured out what that means. And that's why he went into 8. Because, boy, you look at 7, and if it ended there, that would suck. That would really be a bummer.
We have to take it out in the editing.
What's that, Paul?
Nothing.
I mean, that would just, you know, that's, you know, gee whiz. I mean, come on, man. But he goes into 8 because that is why Jesus died in the first place. He knew we were cursed. He knew we were without hope. He knew all of those things were the case.
Right.
That's why he came. That's why he gave the promise in the garden, because he already knew that he had set a plan of redemption in motion from the very beginning. And it's sort of like, you know, you have to admit it before you can move forward, that old cliche. Well, it's true. When you can really, 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 really grasp and understand that in you, that is in your flesh, there is no good thing, and without Christ you can do nothing. When you start pulling all that together and it actually resonates in your heart, well, that's when that grace of God falls down on you like a wave. Because you're just bare. Your soul is bare before Him, and you just know that you know His love for you. All the stuff you've been going through, Phil, I was telling Paul earlier, it's funny, I could be talking to you, buddy. I love you so much. You know this. But I could be talking to you, and when you have a mindset, you're on that roller coaster of being on the wrong side of the coin. You follow me?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to, but go ahead.
But you're on that wrong side of the coin roller coaster, and it's rolling, man. And it comes to the stopping point where you can get off, and you look at and you can get off that roller coaster, or you can stay on for another ride. And son of a gun, man, you like to stay on that thing sometimes. Lord's working all of this out of us. You know, we get to that place, the Lord shows us a thing in our heart, we can get off the ride. You know, like I said in that sermon way before, you are not your flesh. Well, stop agreeing with it. Get off the ride. Stop aligning yourself with its desires, its wants, its will. And start aligning yourself with God's will. See, that's what 8's about. Let's go to Romans 8. Y'all still with me? It's getting awful quiet over there.
Well, I was looking up in reference to, Jesus being the provision that is so perfectly what we need, because we're so desperately wicked. And it reminded me of Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yeah. That's why he was the perfect remedy for what ails us.
You know, what comes to mind, Paul, when you're talking about that is Romans 5.
Yeah.
You know, let's see. We've got the whole tribulation part, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go to verse 6. Phil, are you there?
Yes.
Read for me, starting verse 6 in Romans chapter 5, if you would, please.
Verse 6 in Romans 5. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Stop. Is that not just us?
Yeah.
He didn't die for the godly. First of all, there weren't any. You know, it's all that old phrase, you know, about, gosh, he eats with publicans and sinners. Well, gosh, yeah, who else is he going to eat with? The fact that they even had that statement identifies the crux of the problem.
It's a testimony against those who were making the good point.
Again, being the guy that's on the other side of that coin, Phil, I'm more that Pharisee saying, you know, gee whiz, you know. That's my flesh's inclination is to be on that side of things. Gosh, I'm sure I've said it. I'm sure I've been the guy at the prayer saying, boy, I'm sure glad I'm not like that guy. I know I've done it.
That's scary. I'm sure I've done it too. I don't remember any, but I know I've probably done it. Probably that was a really good amnesia point.
Yeah.
Not to be able to remember that.
Yeah. But Jesus didn't come to save the healthy people. He came to save the sick people. The scary thing is that there's a bunch of people out there that don't realize they're sick. Keep on reading.
For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Okay. And here's where, you know, the all that ray of hope starts coming in for all of us guys. He didn't die for us because we're wonderful. He died for us because we needed a Savior. He died for us knowing who we are.
Yeah.
And yet did it anyway. So we would have the chance, we would have the opportunity to be saved. I mean, he died for us to have the opportunity. It wasn't like he died with the guarantee it would happen. He died for the giving us the opportunity to be saved. That's the character, nature, and mercy of God. Y'all can jump in anytime.
We're boasting. He's excluded. We've got nothing to boast about. We needed him every conceivable way from Sunday. we're all in bondage to sin until we receive Jesus. That's just the way it is.
So how do we get out of that? Phil, how do you get out of that place that you struggle with into Romans 8, where you can be victorious in the Spirit, living in the Spirit in Christ Jesus? How do you make that transition into that next chapter of your life?
Gosh, Ricky, on a personal level, one is just, you know, what ends up happening is, you know, I screw up. I screw something up, Rick, and then yet the hand of the Lord is shown to me. And His graces and mercies extended to me. That's how I see it a lot of times. Realizing that He is a good, loving Father just makes me grateful and humbles me. I mean, it just humbles me. You know? And quite frankly, it's a choice, I suppose.
Well, let's talk about the choice for a little bit. We've got another whole half hour here. Let's go ahead and go into Romans 8, because this is where you sort of got to this morning, Paul, I believe. Somebody started into it, because I know Brad,
I did.
It was him.
Yeah.
We get into Romans 8 here. Go ahead.
But that's where Paul hit on some of it, too, when I was done in Romans 8.
Yeah, well, he read some of the first few verses, and I'm sure I hit on scriptures around it, but I didn't actually go into it.
Well, I went right at the 8:1 stopped.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay. Because that's the freedom.
Yeah, because you started filling that whole thing where, you know, when someone's married to a guy, she's bound to him. When that guy's dead, she's no longer bound to him. And that's sort of relationally, that is us with the law or the flesh. When that's dead, we're then alive unto Christ.
Amen.
Right.
Okay. And if you back up to Romans 6, and it talks about baptism, that's what that is supposed to represent.
Right.
And if you look at Romans 6 and where churches get things goofed up is that with regards to water baptism, it's not a baptism of repentance. The baptism of repentance is the baptism of blood. That should have already been accomplished, because baptism of water does you no good unless you've been baptized in the blood of Christ through repentance.
Yeah, the baptism of water is into His body.
That's correct. Now, when you look at that and you see that Romans 6 is talking about being baptized into Christ, being baptized in the likeness of His death, what was the crux of Jesus' struggle on His way to the cross?
The choice to do His Father's will.
Over His own. Not my will, but what?
But yours.
Is that not the crux of our choice every day?
Amen.
Isn't that all of 7? Isn't that what Paul's talking about?
Yes.
in the inability of him to control his flesh to want to do what God wants?
Yeah.
But you know, he finds a way out of that. Go ahead, Phil.
Rick, what was on my mind this morning before I was just reading through scriptures and before I went up, what was on my mind was Romans 7, how I struggle, I battle, and I struggle, and I battle. And yet, through the grace of God, I can just see my struggle, my battle, but through the grace of God, I see His hand and actually what He's doing in the midst of those things. In the midst of those things.
He's working that stuff out of you, Phil.
Yeah, and just, you know, kind of what makes me think, what I was thinking about going was, you know, in Ephesians where it talks about to, you know, above we can ask or think. Mm-hmm. And then what He does is above I can ask or think. And it's a humbling thing. But in the midst of a fight or in the midst of the battle, the midst of not my will be done but yours, and I'm not saying that I accomplished that, don't get me wrong by any means. I freaking struggle, man, with it. Don't
sure.
And I give in to the flesh and I do many wrong things. And I'm not saying, but in the midst of or after I just take a freaking just do it. Throw my hands up and say screw it, you know. And the Lord shows His grace and His love, and it's great. It's grateful, makes me grateful. You know, I mean, above I can ask or think. How could the Lord still have grace and mercy? You know.
Well, when you get out of 7 and you get into 8, it starts making sense, Phil, because. If you're living in your flesh and you're trying to please God there, you just never can. But when you mortify your flesh and you stop choosing to align yourself with it, and you seek the things of God, you do all the things that the Lord tells us to do in His Word. I mean, we were in Colossians not too long ago, and it was, you know, what was it about? Set your affections on things which are above. Amen?
Amen.
We got the same thing here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They don't follow after the flesh, they follow after the Spirit. It's the same thing, is it not?
Yeah. Absolutely.
The thing is that with us, we just tend to be satisfied to follow after the flesh way off, way too much. That's our problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we get comfortable there. And the Lord then is good to make us uncomfortable in our fleshy comfort zone to the point where it's so uncomfortable we wish to change our location to be out of the flesh and in the Spirit.
Hey, I'm getting all lonely in that timeout. Yeah.
We've prayed the prayer, Lord, do whatever it takes. And then He has sought to accomplish that in our lives. And that is going to be accomplished through tribulation. It's going to be accomplished through trials. It's going to be accomplished through, well, whatever it takes. We can either, submit, be broken before Him, or it will break us and destroy us. We don't want to be in a place where we're resisting God in His correction. No. We want to be in a place where we're submitting to His correction and we are grateful for His correction. And we're not always there. But we can learn to be there. And we can learn to get cured from the optical rectal nervitis. Choose to make the disconnect between our optic nerve and our butt nerve, and things won't look so brown.
Yep.
then all of a sudden, you know, this freedom that the Lord has, the freedom that he died for us to have and partake of and to enjoy and to walk in, we can actually be there. We can partake of that.
That would be verse 2.
Well, go ahead.
The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Free.
Keep going.
But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit.
Okay. You know, there could be a whole road to legalism right there. And there are many churches that have gone down that road. If we go back, it's funny, I wondered why I read that verse. If you go back to Matthew 7, what was the very first verse? You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus says, and I paraphrase that, but Jesus says what? You know, and he's asking the guy, or the guy asked him, say, you know, what do I have to do to be saved, or something along those lines. He says, well, you know the law, what's it say? You know, it says, love God and love one another, essentially. I may be getting a couple stories goofed up there, but I think you guys get the gist of it. I know that there was that occasion. And the whole law and the prophets are summed up in two things, right?
Right.
Love God and love one another. That's about as complicated as this gets. You know, it's not some laundry list of 101 do's and don'ts. It's just two do's.
Right.
Love God and love one another. What offense is there that you could be if that is how you live your life? I mean, you're certainly not going to steal. You're not going to commit fornication. You're not going to commit adultery. You're not going to murder somebody. You're not going to bear false witness. I mean, all of the things that, you know, people want to slack on to some or tack on to some sort of long list of, you know, laundry list of do's and don'ts and, you know, something that looks about like the current IRS tax code law. It's just two things. Love God, love one another. You go back over to Matthew 7, and it says, you know, that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And you ask people, what's God's will for you? And who knows what kind of answer you get, but at the very least, it's what?
Love God, love one another.
There you go.
And reveal God's goodness to everybody that'll listen.
That's certainly loving one another, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you're looking to hear, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, what is it to mind the things of the Spirit? What is it to set your affections on things above? What is it to align yourself with the Spirit? It is to have, to make the choice to desire to do God's will in your life. It's to make that choice to love God and love one another. You know, Phil, I know you've been in a place and you've been working and working hard and in a situation where you feel inadequate. But you know, the one sermon that always keeps coming back to me is the one Steve preached when we had revivals there in Cottageville. And it was about the uniform. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I remember when Joey died in our living room. And as the paramedics came in the door, fortunately he had been raised from the dead at that point. But as the paramedics came in the door, I did not stop them at the front door and say, you know, when did you graduate? And can I see your transcript to make sure that you're qualified? When I had an issue that required police assistance, and the chief showed up or the police officer showed up and to lend assistance, I did not ask him. So when did you graduate the academy? And by the way, can I see your firearms proficiency scores? Because I want to make sure that you're qualified. You know, he had the uniform on. That made him qualified. You see where I'm going here?
Yes. I mean, that's essentially what I was talking about this morning. You're in Christ Jesus.
He's got qualified. He's qualified, yeah. Therefore you are qualified.
Exactly. You got his cloak. You got his righteousness on you. Not your own, but his. Yep. He gave it to you.
And he's
the issue of the uniform.
And you know, yeah, and not only that, it's been when the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he sees Jesus. He don't see me. He don't see you. He sees Jesus.
He only sees you if you're not wearing the uniform.
Right.
And we get on either side of that pride coin, and we're out of uniform.
Out of uniform.
Yeah, that's the crux. That's where the struggle comes in for us. Is that when we get out of uniform, and then we wonder why we're getting our butts handed to us. That's because we're out of uniform. We forgot that it's not through us, it's not because of us, it's because of Him, and it's through Him. We get back in uniform, and things amazingly straighten out. And the good thing about God, and I think what you were talking about today, is that we all struggle being on different sides of that coin, but when we humble ourselves and repent, and things straighten out, to us, we've been through some great tragedy, but His grace has covered it in such a way where people never knew there was an issue. Is that what you found, Phil?
Yeah. Well, I mean, people find, I'm sure, issues with me all the time. But
the issues are less dramatic than we had envisioned them in our head. I mean, His grace.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a result of our humility and repentance and getting back in the uniform in time. Is He'll redeem those mistakes?
Right. I mean, that's how I looked at it. I mean, it's looked at as Him just being good. I mean, that's how big His grace is. That's how awesome His grace is. And
the more you've gone through these kind of things, I know when I have gone through them, I get so convinced that I'm useless and can never please the Lord in myself, I end up seeing how many people are out there who've been seeing me through the cloud. The grace covered my insufficiency. And that's really what's going on here. It's never as bad as we think it is. And the Lord is bigger than the sum of our unableness to do anything, because our unableness to do anything, I'm about ready to make another word.
You go right on, Paul.
The unableness to do anything that's profitable for the Lord. His grace is yet covering us, and the people never see that conflict going on. It's what, like, they see is somebody who's trying to serve the Lord.
That, I mean, it's like, exactly. I mean, and that's essentially, I mean, look, and don't get me wrong. I mean, these things are a struggle as far as thing, but that's what I want to do is please the Lord. How? Ugh. I mean, it's kind of like going back to seven.
Let's just go right there, Phil, because that's really the crux of it. That's really the crux of it, Phil.
I mean, but what I want to say, one thing about what Paul was saying is where Christ tells Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Would that be then the appropriate application for that? Of what you're talking about, Paul?
Yeah, I think. But the main thing is, it's about when you're mining the Spirit, and putting your attention on things that are above and things that matter between you and the Lord. And His grace is covering you. You have received His grace. And that grace covering you is the same as the cloud out in the desert. Wasn't it Moses who God said, look.
What do you see?
Yeah, what do you see? I see a bunch of stiff-necked, rebellious people. And the Lord says, I see my people.
You know, He's chosen.
Shows them
with the cloud over them.
Right.
He goes, now what do you see?
Now,
we're still righteous people.
Righteous people.
And that's the Lord's grace. And that's how Steve explained it to me as well.
Right. It's just, what it means is when you got the uniform on, you're covered.
Yeah.
And it's not given to everybody, even those people you are assuming are judging you as being an absolute idiot. It's not given to them to be able to see that idiocy.
Well, the thing is, Paul, let me just say this for a second. Anyone judging from a carnal perspective is going to see you as inadequate. The grace is that God doesn't see you as inadequate because it's through His blood that He sees you. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
I was driving at more towards those over him at his work, and those over him in the ministry are seeing him through grace. And what he is when he's got it right, which is, you know, a great testimony to the Lord and His goodness in Philip, manifested in Philip and in his work. It is somebody who gets the job done, somebody who keeps people from killing each other and keeps, you know, customers from coming in and wanting to beat the crap out of them. I wish I got
tired, duh. Right, well.
That is grace covering him because, you know, nobody ever gets the full disclosure on the depth of my depravity, and that's because the Lord's good.
Well, the Lord's good, absolutely. And when we recognize that that is what we are, that's when His grace is that much more abundant.
Yeah.
But if you want to see a shift in that, start thinking that you don't need His grace.
Why in the world would you start doing that?
But that's the other side of the coin. that's you may not have experienced that like I have.
those words do not compute.
But that's the other side of it. That
don't even throw that coin in the air, Bo. No, what were you going to say? I see you said so. You were going to say something, Ricky. You were going to bring out
something. Is that, you know, how it looks, this life that he is laying out here, you know, there is the self-righteous, there is the pharisaical, there is that religious that is not going to see the grace of God, but that's their own loss. They're going to see Phil the tattooed former, you know, drug dealing scumbag, despite all the good things that God has. But you can't let that discourage you either.
No, I didn't really sell drugs all that well either. I don't.
No, yeah. You're not supposed to sell your front stuff, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, I'm a loser, baby.
Yeah. Giving away all your secrets now, but. The point is that, you know, I go back to that dangerous road to legalism that some people have taken this, you know, that walk not after the flesh but after the spirit sort of phrase. And if you're judging by your natural eyes or your carnal eyes or your own sense of what you think is appropriate or inappropriate, you know, it's going to always be flawed and messed up. I'm speaking from the other side of the coin, that self-righteous side of the coin. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
And from...
Go ahead, Ricky. Sorry.
What I'm saying is that your relationship between you and the Lord, and your heart between you and the Lord, and your walk between you and the Lord, and your humility between you and the Lord, it's between, guess what?
Me and the Lord.
You and the Lord. And if you commit in your heart to serve the Lord, it's going to manifest, who knows? You can't control how somebody perceives what and how you do. Can't control it. All you can do is seek to serve God. And if you put your heart to do that, even though you will fail at times, like we've said over and over and over and over, God didn't come to save perfect people. He came because we are failures. And we needed salvation, and we needed redemption, and we needed all the things that He promises us. We need it. So, as you go forward this week, and we're almost out of time here, you go forward this week, you are going to not live on the tail side of the coin, and I am not going to live on the head side of the coin. And we're both going to live for Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, if I had you on one side and him on the other side, that's definitely funny money.
Oh, that's bad. And on that note, we're out, guys. Have a great holiday tomorrow.